Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Football Betting Podcast with me, Tom Pipkin, my co-host, Tom Walker. And this week we are joined by Jack, who is representing our partners at Quiff. Hello, everybody.
Very good presenter voice, that. Brilliant cadence. Laddie, Tom, yeah.
Only been doing it a few years now, haven't we? So well.
Absolute pro.
We'll find that. So Jack is going to join us for the Premier League section of the podcast, and will talk to us a little bit about Quiff and all the benefits of betting with Quiff.
There aren't many, but we'll try.
But we are pretty much going to be usual order of the show today. So we'll go through the Premier League tips, picking out our betting highlights, and then we'll do the same for the Championship, League One and League Two, hopefully picking out some winners that will help inform your accumulators and get you some profit this weekend. So before we go into the tips in, there's no one better to talk about Quiff than you, Jack. So please, you know, me and Tom try our best to talk it up every week. So if you can blow us out of the water and...
Yeah, if you're looking for accumulators, you're probably going to get a bit of price if over the long run. Again, Quiff offers a supercharged feature where your bets will get, I've been told, don't ever use the word enhanced or boosted, but if you're getting an accuracy at 8-1, there's a good chance you can get that increased to 9, 10, 11-1, depending how it works. But if you are looking for something like a golf bet on the Masters, don't pump with us because you're going to get a lesser price and you can't bet each way. But if there's something like an ACK, if you're trying to get a multiple for the weekend, the supercharged betting experience with Quiff is probably one where you're going to get a little bit of value for money if indeed you can pick a few winners. I couldn't do a wheelbarrow in the form I'm in, but for those who can, yeah, bet with Quiff.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I don't think you're alone there. It's been
we had a tough week last week. We had both teams to score, so both teams to score treble, obviously needing six teams to score a goal. And we had a 0-0 and two teams who didn't score. So wasn't our best week, but another week of opportunity, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it was surprising to see so many goals in the Champions League, given the round of 16 was a bit more tentative, right? And then last night, if you'd have done the over goals or the both teams to score racket, you'd have been pretty much quids in early doors as well. I think both teams to score yesterday copped by about 50 minutes yesterday. Same with the over 2.5 goals. So, punters got some back in the week.
Yeah, definitely. But it does feel like across English football specifically, it's been a real bookies benefit time over the last month or so. It's been tough. You know, we gauge it from social media as well. People send us bet slips and things they've won. There's not been that many flying around over recent weeks. It seemed like a lot of people have found it tough. But hopefully we go again this weekend. We can get some winners. Let's go straight into the Premier League then and look at what we like there. It kicks off with what should be a cracker on paper, Newcastle against Spurs. You'd expect plenty of goals in this one. The price is reflected with both teams to score at 1.32. Is there anything that either of you like that from a win angle or something else, another market? Because like I say, I think there'll be goals, but the price is quite short for that.
I just don't trust Newcastle, to be honest with you. You know, this is a Newcastle team that has been, you know, they've lost to Chelsea. They have beaten teams like Fulham and drawn against Everton and had that 4-3 game against West Ham. Like, I honestly just don't really know where I stand with Newcastle at the moment. I think, although Tottenham, you know, typically away from home, not firing on all cylinders, they're way better in North London. But, you know, I'm kind of looking at that game against Villa a couple of weeks ago when they went there and won 4-0. You know, Villa, Newcastle, maybe kind of a similar level of opposition. I trust Tottenham more. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Jack.
Yeah, and to your point about why probably betting results have been favourable for bookmakers, right? Because teams like a Newcastle or a Tottenham, I mentioned Brentford being in poor form, but the Premier League has a habit of weekly kind of throwing one or two results where you think that doesn't make any sense. Everton can somehow find a one or draw. They drew Newcastle the other week, didn't they, when they were big underdogs. Spurs can be brilliant at the same time, they can be frustrating, and Ange will always do that. Well, you know, you can't really explain it. I don't have a joystick. And Newcastle probably are in that same mode of, you wouldn't be able to confidently, you could lie and put forward like a claim, I really think this is going to happen because X, Y, and Z, but you wouldn't be able to trust them, in my opinion anyway, and have a confident punt on one of them, because they have a habit of throwing in like a proper banana skin result, which is pretty much unexplainable.
Agreed.
Yeah. So we'll look at the 3 o'clock. So we've got 4 3 o'clocks to sink our teeth into this weekend. The obvious one, Man City against Luton. City are priced at 1.08 for the win, Luton at 12.0. So it'll be a big shock if Luton, obviously, were to get anything against Man City. I was having a look at this game for anything that we might be able to get in other markets. I'm expecting a lot of rotation for City, yeah, considering they play Real Madrid again next week. You know, I think we'll see the Alvarezes, the Oscar Bobs, Rico Lewis, Mateus Nunes, that kind of lineup for City. Might be worth looking into the anytime goal scorer markets, because I do still think that, you know, those players are more than capable of putting two or three past the Luton side. We've got Oscar Bob anytime scorer 1.8 here. Even Rico Lewis has been on the score sheet in recent weeks as well when he's come in. He's 3.4. So I think something along those lines potentially, or the both teams to score, which is pretty much bang on even money. If you think Luton can go to the Etihad and get a goal, because 9 of the last 10 games for Luton, both teams have scored, and Man City haven't exactly been watertight, have they, over the last kind of couple of months at least.
Yeah, Man City and both teams to score 2.15 with Quiff is where I think I'm going to land. You know, Carlton Morris, it's just always good for a goal, and Luton, they just always find a way. I know they didn't score away at Arsenal, which is obviously a similar test, but I would say that Arsenal are a lot better at shutting out opposition and being a lot more kind of professional about getting a job done and kind of onto the next one. I think there is a bit more of an element of chaos with City, and there's definitely an opportunity for Luton to get a goal. Something like a 4-1, a 3-1, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, both teams' scores landed has been successful in 7 of Man City's last 9 games in all competitions. You could argue Real Madrid got a couple of lucky goals, made a couple of deflections where Pep's left with his head in his hands, which is always funny to see. Yeah, Man City both can score. I'd be all over that sort of 2.15.
Another game for me where I think it'll be both teams to score to jump in here. Forest Wolves, 1.61 is the price here for both teams to score. Forest, no clean sheets in 8 consecutive games. Wolves, 6 games without a clean sheet as well themselves. Forest are kind of earmarking this game. Well, I know.
You are.
The fans certainly are, yeah. Yeah, whether they're doing the same in the dressing room, I don't know. You know, you think they probably will be, considering we've got Man City coming up and a few away games coming up as well. But this home game against Wolves is one where really Forest want to be getting 3 points. Defensively, I don't trust Forest one bit, but offensively is where we can certainly cause damage, especially to a Wolves side who have got players injured at the moment as well. It's just starting to welcome people back like Cunha. Forest and Wolves, both teams to score here. The last time these two sides have played each other, it's been 3 consecutive 1-1 draws. There's also the added factor of Nuno Espirito Santo playing his former club for the first time as Forest manager. And there always seems to be a little bit of wrinkle when Forest play Wolves in recent weeks as well. So it might be worth looking into the card market, because I don't know if it stems from us knocking them out in the cup last season, or if it's from us buying Gibbs White, a combination of all sorts, but there always seems to be a bit of fire to these games.
Yeah, you took that right off my plate in terms of the cards. That was my big angle that nobody else would have thought of, that you just took right off. but Gibbs White for sure. I can see him getting booked, and I think it is from that penalty shootout and the kind of big celebrations from Forest. I'm gonna go with Forest on the nose, but also I'm gonna go first half result Forest. It's 2.6 with Quiff, and I think we saw mainly from the Fulham game, which is arguably the best 45 minutes Forest have played since they've been promoted in the Premier League. They absolutely blew them away. And then against Tottenham, they went in level. But if you've seen the highlights of the first half, Chris Wood hits the post from a yard. He just tries putting his foot through it instead of placing it. And listen, I love Chris Wood. I'm not going to tell him how to finish chances, but that was a big one that got away from us. And I think in the last couple of weeks, we've seen that we can be really fast starters. And I think the crowd are going to be up for it, and we'll go after them early. And 2.6, I think we could get a first half result in.
Yeah, I like it. Anything that anyone wants to cover from Brentford, Sheffield United or Burnley, Brighton?
Both teams to lose.
Both teams to snooze.
The evening kickoff is Bournemouth at home to Manchester United. Anybody got anything that they like the look of there?
I mean, we talked about earlier about the inconsistency. Like, to use a Roy Keaneism, right? You don't know what you're going to get with this Manchester United side, which is probably the biggest indictment of the squad as a whole. They were awful last week against Liverpool. Don't let the scoreline reflect how disorganised they were in the first half. And United will be favourite. United will be popular, especially in the both teams scoring the correct score markets. I wouldn't be surprised if Bournemouth, to Tom's other market, I'd be looking at Bournemouth to be leading at half-time. United could come back in the second half, but I think Bournemouth will score the first goal, and then it's how United react to that. But God love somebody having... you know, again, please gamble responsibly, but you could see people chasing on the evening kickoff and having... If you're relying on United to get you out of trouble, you might need an evening drink.
I remember getting sucked in, Tom, by this a couple of weeks ago when we saw that United were hovering around even money away at Brentford. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were both thinking, like, bloody hell, like, I know United are bad, but it might be worth siding with them in the late kickoff. And I'm getting similar vibes. I mean, Bournemouth, they have played Palace, Everton and Luton. And as bad as United are, they're definitely better than those three sides. And Bournemouth have won 3 home games in a row. So, yeah, I think my advice is just avoid United. And if your 3 o'clock's come in and you've got some money to play around with, I'd more be looking towards the Bournemouth angle, 2.25.
Yeah. Okay. Let's flip over into Sunday then. We've got 3 matches. 2 o'clockers, we've got West Ham against Fulham and Liverpool against Crystal Palace. Liverpool 1.18 at home to Palace. You'd expect them to get a result there. West Ham are 2.15, which isn't a bad price, I thought. But Fulham are so bloody unpredictable. I feel like they go from scoring 3 to conceding 3 week after week.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham's home form, 1-6. Drew 7, lost 3. And Fulham's away form, 1-2, drew 5, lost 9. So again, like, I think the kind of inconsistencies are in the air again. And I think it's worth looking at West Ham on Thursday night. By the time the pod's gone out, that game will more than likely be done. And I think you need to take that into consideration in terms of lineups and, you know, how it plays out against Leverkusen, just to see if West Ham are still in the tie. Did they win? Did they lose? Did, you know, Jared Bowen, I believe, might be missing. You know, I would wait until that tie, but I would be kind of leaning towards West Ham.
To your point there, Tom, if they've gone and beat 3-0, they've been turned over 3-0 Leverkusen, there's a good chance they play a strong team and then play a weak team in the reverse fixture, knowing that realistically we're already out of this. So it's very hard to predict at this stage until you've done. If they can get a 1-1 draw in Leverkusen, I think they might at least maybe 2-1. They will still probably just have to play a strong team, and then, okay, let's give it a good go for the next week, 10 days. And then, you know, the pressure David Moyes seems to be under it, I was going to say Upton Park then, West Ham, given the fact they're seventh in the league. I don't know what West Ham's fans' expectations were going into this season, but if you'd have told them that they're going to finish above, I know Newcastle and Chelsea have games in hand, but you're above Newcastle and Chelsea in the league, having won silverware in Europe the year before, like lads, yeah. Again, yeah. Be realistic with your expectations. Try being a Huddersfield fan. We're just looking to stay up this year. Some fans are just never happy.
No, 100%. And still in Europe, obviously they've got probably the toughest draw they could have got, but they're still in Europe. They're still getting those really great away days. And yeah, I don't know what West Ham expect to be. Do they expect to be in the top four, or is this more of a style of play? Is it because, honestly, I feel like if Moisey was, 36 in that kind of Gary O'Neill mold, everyone would be really excited about it. I honestly think it's because he's a bit of an older boy. He just doesn't fit that modern manager mold, and the kind of game's moved on from that kind of era. That's my theory anyway.
That roundabout of Moyes, Allardyce, I was going to say Kerbyshley, he's kind of gone now with Roy Hodgson.
Hardew.
Hards, God love him. Yeah. Never recovered from the dance at Wembley.
When I went away to Portugal earlier this year, I sat on the row in front of a family behind us, and their dad had a younger kid like we do. And I got speaking to their dad, and he was a West Ham fan, really avid West Ham fan. He said he'd been following them up and down the country for 20 years, and he couldn't believe the people who had Moyes out and anti-Moyes. He said they've got such short memories, they don't remember. They're not people who have been away to Barnsley's and Rotherham's, etc.
I'm not a fan of South Yorkshire, clearly. But,
very David Moyes. Jack, any thoughts on Arsenal against Villa? Because we've spoken about how West Ham have got a tough Europa League match and may rest players. We spoke about how Man City may rest players. Can you see Arsenal resting players for this Aston Villa game with Bayern Munich next week in mind? And if they do, is that going to affect anything? Because Villa are no pushovers.
Villa are no pushovers, but I think Villa are, I wouldn't say they're struggling, but they are starting to kind of, this is like a horse that's kicked for home too soon now, and they're flagging now in the last few weeks. And I think they're, the squad size of a Man City or an Arsenal is really probably highlighted in the final 6-8 weeks of the season. Arsenal can chop and change, and they still should be fine. I also, in my head, I always consider Arsenal to be a bit of a, to use a cricket in term of flat track bully, at home to a lesser side. Again, no disrespect to Aston Villa being called a lesser side, but they're not a Man City, they're not a Liverpool, but they are in the next bracket underneath. And Arsenal have been so great at home this year. Fair enough, they've adapted on the road when seen against City in the goalless draw. They're just so strong and so well organised. They have got a strangely... the fan base is very strange. They get behind the team so well at home. Their away support isn't probably as ardent as a Liverpool, as a Leeds or a Man United. But they are strong at home, and you could see them winning quite comfortably. Probably a 3-1. I think they're about 1.3, right? 1.25. They're strong favourites. There'll be a lot of weekend bankers, and I think you'd be a very brave man to be back in Villa around 9-10-1.
Yeah. Moving into Monday then for the final Premier League game, we've got Chelsea at home to Everton. Tom, any thoughts on this particular one?
Just a big sigh from me, to be honest with you. There are a list of things I would rather do than back Chelsea at that place. And in terms of Everton as well, Calvert-Lewin finally kind of producing something, I suppose. I just don't see where this game goes. I'll be interested to see how it pans out. And if I, was really forced into backing something, I might go down the draw route at 3.6. But again, inconsistencies. We don't know what we're going to get from Chelsea, and we know what we're going to get from Everton. It's going to be bad, but how
how bad? Poor Sean Dyche.
How bad?
I statistically, if we're looking at recent Chelsea games, have been full of goals and full of entertainment. They've had five consecutive games in the Premier League where both teams have scored two or more goals. So the recent trends person in me wants to look at Everton to score two or more goals, which is priced at 2.75.
But I don't know if I trust them. They're the second lowest scorers in the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. I don't know if I trust them to do that.
Yeah, so, second lowest scorers in the league with the fourth best defence in the league over the season. I just think they're going to stink the place out personally. I would rather go draw. I understand what you're saying, Tom. Chelsea are pure chaos. So who knows?
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Jack, or shall we wrap up the...
It's two very much kind of contrasted underachievers, aren't they? With the money spent, I mean, underachievers, you know, Everton have underachieved based on their reputation, their club size, but I do think Sean Dyche has done a brilliant job there since kind of steadying the ship, and he came out, didn't he, in the wake of the further financial fair play points, and he said, look, we're looking at a five-year backlog here, and you see a lot of big, this is how big clubs fall crumble down. You look at QPR, for example. We have got people who are still on ridiculous wages. We are in a 2-3 year period where we're going to sort of get rid of them and rebuild the squad. So, and then you compare that to Chelsea, who money's no object. It's just two of them underachieving in very different ways. But I like Sean Dyche. I hope everything stays up and can hopefully rebuild the club.
Yeah, it reminds me of Forrest still having Harry Arter on the books on about 45 grand a week, who's finally out of contract this summer.
He's not played again for 2.5-3 years, is it?
Yeah,
he's something like that.
Been collecting the wage for about 3 years now.
We had, so when we signed him, it was the Chris Hughton era, and we were basically just trying to stay up in the Championship, and we were going absolutely nowhere, and somebody put a promotion clause into his contract to trigger an extra year and a pay rise. And then obviously the magician Steve Cooper comes in, we get promoted, and then everyone all of a sudden realizes that means another 2 year or another year of Harry Arter. So he's refusing to terminate his contract, which is fair enough. And he's living the life at the moment.
Certainly is. Well, that wraps up the Premier League for this week. Thank you, Jack, for joining us for the opening 20 minutes or so of the pod. It's been great having you on and promoting Quiff and adding your insight to the weekend's games. I'm sure we'll hear more from you again before the season's out. But yeah, me and Tom, now let's crack on with the Football League, shall we?
You crack on with the Football League. Big week as well, lads, remember. 3 days of the Aintree Grand National meetings, Grand National on Saturday, and it's the Masters. So if you are punting, enjoy yourselves. Please behave responsibly. And if you're going to ask me for a few tips, the Mainly Golf Show, you can hear them all there, but Hideki Matsuyama and Xander Schauffele.
I'm on Matsuyama.
I'm on him at 28 a few weeks ago. His game has kind of trended up to here. He's finished in the top 20 Augusta, 9 out of 10 visits to the course, 2020 winner. He's in good form. He's in a good place of his life. A lot of these golfers kind of hit a certain plateau where you become a bit more comfortable. You've got a good foundation, not like Tiger, who was able to kind of do several different things and lead a couple of double lives. But yeah, Xander Schauffele is another one where he's got a great record around there. He was tied second when Tiger won in 2019. He's tied second a couple of years ago again. Great. He's got a great long game. He's got good form there. He's never won an actual major. He probably should have won the Players last month. But yeah, if you wanted to bet, Hideki Matsuyama and Xander Schauffele for me. Scotty Scheffler's in a different parish, but just too skinny. You can't be back in a 4-1 shot in entering a major.
No.
Sounds like I better go on Matsuyama then as well.
Yeah, I was already on him, Pip, so there you go.
I'll take a place.
So let's go straight into the Championship then, shall we, Tom? Not the best league for betting this weekend. I feel like it's very up and down the champ, isn't it? Some weeks it's good, some weeks it's bad. This week, not so good. Get us kicked off to throw you into the lion's den. Who'd you like in the Championship?
the land of cider. I am going for Bristol City. They are 2.2 against Huddersfield. I think it's a really good price, to be honest with you. What probably my favourite bet in the Championship this weekend. In terms of kind of price and risk versus reward, potentially in the EFL. They haven't lost in the last four games. They've only lost one in the last six, winning four of them. Last time out, they beat Blackburn 5-0 in midweek. I had that one down on a personal bet as a both teams to score draw. So I was obviously wildly wrong about that one. But yeah, Bristol City, Tom, not something that we're really used to with them. Did you know that they've kept four clean sheets in a row? And in their last six games, they have managed to keep five clean sheets.
Okay, fair play.
So, yeah, they're watertight at the back, which is something that I have honestly barely ever associated with the Robins. And then Huddersfield on the other side, it's looking pretty bleak. They haven't won in six games. I'm glad Jack's off the show now because I'm kind of going to tear him a new arsehole, to be honest with you. But yeah, I mean, they beat Millwall 1-0 on the weekend, lost to Preston in midweek, as I said. But yeah, got that win. But crucially, kind of, you know, we're looking at away games, a draw against Stoke, a draw against Rotherham when they really needed to win. They, you know, only managed to beat an out of sorts Watford team. And before that game, you have to go back to the 29th of November for their last away win. So it's one away win in their last nine. So yeah, for me, I think Bristol City sneakily might be the bet of the weekend.
Okay, cool. I want to look at Sheffield Wednesday, 2.40 at home to Stokes. This is a big game towards the bottom of the league. We've got Sheffield Wednesday currently occupying that final relegation spot. They're 3 points behind Stoke. So a win here would do wonders for their survival chances and reeling in the teams above them as well. I just feel like Sheffield Wednesday have got a lot more fight in them at the moment than Stoke have. Their home form is generally good. They've lost just one game at Hillsborough in the last eight across all competitions. We've seen them get some good results in recent weeks. They beat QPR 2-0 away from home last weekend, which is a really good result. Then I'd say even more impressively, they came from 2-0 down late on to draw 2-2 with Norwich, who are banging form at the moment. So a fantastic morale-boosting point in midweek for Sheffield Wednesday at home there. Stoke come into this game off the back of a 3-0 away defeat at Swansea. I feel like any team that's losing 3-0 to Swansea at the moment rings alarm bells in my head, because Swansea are nothing much at all, to be honest, with all due respect. Stoke have lost five of their last seven away games in the Championship. So for me, I'm sure it's going to be tight. It's going to be cagey. But Sheffield Wednesday, for me, a good price to come out on top here.
Yeah. Tom, I'm going to be backing Coventry. They're 2.15 with Quiff away at Birmingham. Both teams need points here. This is a classic. Birmingham need it because they're in a relegation fight. Coventry need it for their playoff fight. But there's only one team that I'll be backing this weekend between the two of these. Birmingham, for me, are a sorry state of affairs at the moment. They've won just one of their last six, losing the other five. They are bottom of the form table in the last eight games, tied with Rotherham. So both Birmingham and Rotherham have got 4 points from their last eight games. It's just been really, really poor in terms of, you know, there's been scattered team selection. The fans are unhappy again with some of Rowett's decisions. Jay Stansfield is kind of contributing a goal here, there and everywhere. He's definitely someone that I respect at EFL level. But in terms of what else is around him, there's not too much. And in You know, although Coventry lost in midweek away at Southampton, you know, before that, they won their last three away games consecutively. So they managed to beat Huddersfield, Wolves in the Cup, of course, and Watford. I think Coventry are a team that can always be backed, and, you know, especially over evens. Any long-term listeners to the pod will know that I'm essentially a Coventry fan, to be honest with you. And, yeah, they're 5 points off the playoff spots right now with a game in hand. So it's do or die time for Coventry.
Cool. One more for me in the champ. And I'm going to go for a draw, which is something that we don't throw out that often. But Southampton against Watford to be a draw. Here you've got Southampton, who are just kind of treading water until the playoffs come around. And Watford, who are, again, pretty much treading water in mid-table. They're in 14th. But what Watford have done in recent weeks is get some pretty impressive results, I'd say. They've drawn four games in a row. They have drawn to Leeds. They've drawn to West Brom. They've drawn to Preston. And they've drawn to Ipswich. The most recent two, so the draws to Preston and Ipswich, have been nil-nils. They've drawn two all to West Brom and to Leeds. So I think we've seen there four games in a row drawing in different styles against four really creditable opponents. They face a fifth one in a row here in Southampton, who don't have anything particularly to play for other than just gaining a little bit of momentum ahead of the playoffs. Maybe some players will be rested even as they, you know, look to save legs ahead of the playoffs too. So for me, I'm going to go for draw again here. 4.20. I just couldn't resist the price, really.
Yeah, you navigated Watford quite well there, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even realise, but yeah, I'm surprised I did, because I'd usually butcher that.
Yeah, you did really well. Great job.
Thanks. Any more champ for you?
No, thank you.
Let's move into League One then, get us started.
Yeah, I think we got to look at Lincoln, haven't we? They are the darlings. There's something about red and white shirts at the moment in the EFL that is bringing out some pretty wild runs of form. Lincoln haven't lost in their last 16 games before drawing in midweek away at a decent Reading team. Like, it's not an easy game going away at Reading. They haven't lost in their last 10, and they had won their last 5 in a row. They are absolutely cooking, as the kids say, as they start kind of trying to get into those playoff spots. They're on the outside looking in at the moment, but it's just 2 points that separate them and Oxford. Same amount of games played. So, yeah, it's definitely on for Lincoln. They've kind of come from nowhere. And they're playing Wigan, who are a team, they're a team that I respect. They're a team who are definitely capable of getting something from Lincoln. You know, I could see them getting a draw perhaps, but, you know, we've got to go with Lincoln right now. They've got so much more cause and need to win. You know, I can't really resist the Imps at the moment. They are the flavour of the month in the EFL, aren't they?
They are. You know, speaking about red and white shirts being in good form, I'm about to tip out a team in red and white who are on pretty poor form, but need a win, and that's Cheltenham Town. They're currently sat in the relegation zone still, but they do have a game in hand, and they're 2 points away from Burton, who sit in that final safety spot in 20th in League One. Cheltenham have only won one in 10 games, so their form is poor, to be honest. But they've got a fantastic opportunity this weekend because they're at home. The price at 2.10, and they're against a Bristol Rovers side who haven't won in 7 consecutive games and haven't scored in 7 consecutive games either. We know Cheltenham from their start to the season, they're no stranger to not scoring goals. You remember they went on that really long run at the start of the season where they didn't score. So they'll know what it's like to be in Bristol Rovers' shoes. But yeah, if you're up against a team at home where you need to win, really, and the opposition are really struggling to score goals, now's the time for Cheltenham to get 3 points on the board and hopefully lift themselves out of the relegation zone. 2.10 is the price.
Derby should get a win, I think. They are pretty skinny, as you can imagine, you know, a big home favourite like that. 1.48. Wow. Quiff have Leyton Orient listed as Leyton Orient London.
Mm.
That's very pro Evo.
Pro Evo Quiff, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think Derby will win. Listen, away from home, they've had problems all season, but at home, they've won four in a row, Derby. They have the fourth best home record in the division. Away from home, again, it's been a different story, really. They've still got the third best away record, but there's been a hell of a lot of draws in there, really kind of winnable games. But at home, we can trust them against a Leyton Orient team who are just patchy, I would say, and really inconsistent. So, you know, I think Derby are definitely more trustworthy in terms of, you know, being at Pride Park or the iPro or whatever they sold out to. So I'll be back in Derby.
Cool. No more in League One for me. Anything you want to look at?
I've got one more. One more. Okay. It's not like a massive nailed-on favourite, but Northampton at 4.0 is massive. They're away at Fleetwood. Fleetwood haven't won in six. They just lost three on the spin. And Northampton, even though they're 11th and their season is over, they keep getting results. They've won three of the last four. They've won three of the last six games. Now, I wish this was at home because that's where Northampton do most of their damage. But, you know, recently they've beaten teams like Carlisle, like Port Vale at home, I must stress. And this is a very similar assignment, Fleetwood in 23rd, kind of going absolutely nowhere, to be honest with you, and really not showing any signs of life. Northampton, again, better at home, but have kind of ending the season really well. And they're out at fours, and it is massive because Fleetwood are pretty bad.
Okay, cool. Let's go into League Two then. Not much I want to touch on in League Two, really. And there's only a couple that we like. Mm. I think it's worth, I'll cover two favourites in one, and then you can take the other one, which I know you're going to talk about. So Stockport at home to Morecambe, the price at 1.25 with Quiff for the victory. So like I say, it's short, but a point is all Stockport need to guarantee themselves promotion into League One. I expect them to get three against the Morecambe side with still an outside chance of the playoffs, but it's not looking likely for them now. And then also Wrexham, their price at 1.34 at home to Forest Green Rovers. Wrexham have dramatically improved their form of recent weeks. A win here, depending on the MK Dons result, could also see Wrexham promoted too this weekend. If Mansfield beat MK Dons in their game against each other and Wrexham win here, that will see Wrexham over the line and promoted to League One at the first attempt. So you've got two sides at the top of the division, both playing at home against beatable sides. I appreciate in Forest Green's case, they have a lot to fight for themselves as well, but their form isn't great. They're running out of time and games. The opposition around them in the league is in much better form, generally, I'd say. So yeah, I think they'll both get wins this weekend and both seal promotion.
Red and white hoops now. Doncaster Rovers, they are the team that me and you are hot on at the moment, Tom. And the bookies have found out, haven't they? They figured it out. We were getting over even money pretty much every single week with Donnie. And they just kept winning and winning and winning. Now they're at 1.68 to against Accrington Stanley. What's there to say here? I mean, you can just listen to last week's pod and just add another win to the stats that we read out. But yeah, they've not lost in their last eight. They've won six home matches in a row. They're by far and away the red hot thing in League Two. They're top of the form table over the last eight. yielding 22 points. And we're at the stage of the season where it matters where these teams are in the league. So let me paint a picture. They're 4 points off the playoffs. So pretty much same games played. Wimbledon, who are in eighth, which is, remember, one spot away from a playoff position in League Two. It's 4, 5, 6, and 7 that qualify in League Two. So they've played a game more. Doncaster in 10th, got to get past them, and Walsall, who are in 9th. It's a fascinating battle. You could probably go down to, as you said, Tom, maybe even Gillingham, mathematically can still make it in 13th. So there's a cause here for Doncaster. Now, in terms of playing against Accrington Stanley, there is no cause really for them. They are going to be safe. They've obviously, John Coleman's era has come to an end. I think they're just trying to get to pre-season and reset as a club after, parting ways with a manager who was there over a decade. So, yeah, not much in terms of form or cause for Accrington Stanley. This should be a simple one for Donny.
Yeah, completely agree. And that, for me, wraps up League Two. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
No, I don't think so. We'll move into the treble section of the show. And I touched on it at the top. Last week's was bad. There's no two ways about it. Not the weekend to be backing both teams to score, it turns out. So we had Norwich and Ipswich, which in my head is both teams to score every time they meet.
Yeah.
But it was 1-0. So obviously that leg died. And then we had Blackburn against Southampton. Tons of stats on this one. Finished 0-0. And then Notts County, who have the best attack and the worst defence in the entire league in League Two. We thought, yeah, definitely both teams to score. They won 3-0 and kept a clean sheet. So it was all upside down on the weekend.
It was completely flew in the face of all the stats, didn't it? Harrogate did miss a penalty, I think, in the first half, which annoyed me.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we didn't lose by one leg.
No. But yeah, let's go into this week's treble then. So it's a straight win treble again, back to usual this week. So we're going to go for Lincoln to beat Wigan, Cheltenham to beat Bristol Rovers, and Doncaster to beat Accrington Stanley. So that's Lincoln, Cheltenham, and Doncaster all to win. £10 example stake returns £52.10. That's with Quiff. And of course, if you bet with Quiff, you have the chance to get supercharged, as we spoke about at the top of the show. So that 5.21 could be boosted into something much bigger and better if you get supercharged. So yeah, good luck with your betting this weekend. Tom, tell them how they can follow us and get involved on social media.
Yeah, T_FB podcast is our Twitter/X handle. We are very close now to 3,000 followers. So please help us in that journey. There's going to be lots of midweek stuff coming for the running as well. There's obviously some European football to go at, and I think one more slate of midweek stuff for the Prem. So yeah, definitely get involved.
Cool. Right then. Well, thank you for listening, guys. We'd really appreciate it if you have enjoyed the show to rate us and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Do check out Quiff at quiff.com. And of course, get involved on social media. So have a profitable weekend, and we'll see you again same time next week.